So are we ready to get our amazing guest on? We have Liz Wilcox, and she's going to be sharing the wonderful journey that she's had talking all things email marketing.
Hey, friends, creative amplifiers.
Yeah. Oh, I love you. Keep it going.
Never gets old.
Never. That's funny. How are you today, Liz?
I am doing so well. I've taken 4 naps in 4 days, and now I am on Creative Amplifiers. Like, life has peaked. I'm great.
Life has peaked. That's cool.
that warms my heart. Thank
Very
you.
Nice.
So let's just jump right into it. I want to know more about you. Obviously, we've been looking at everything, and you've had a very diverse career path. I would love to know more about it and how you wound up becoming an email marketing expert along the way. And what was the turning point that got you to go down that path and become the email extraordinaire that you are?
Yeah, thank you so much. So I've done a lot of different things, and I love that Lisa said, did you say creative or diverse? Yeah, diverse, right?
Diverse.
I feel like that's pretty accurate. I actually wanted to be a teacher, and I wanted to open up my own school. So I actually have a bachelor's degree in elementary education and a master's degree in leadership. And then my last job was actually at a gas station that sold fried chicken. And long story short, I ended up getting fired, and I wasn't making that much money. I was still in college, and I realized, you know what, I could probably figure out this making money thing on my own. So I started doing, you know, the Craigslist circuit. This was before apps on your phone, before DoorDash, Uber, things like that. You had Craigslist. And so I would go on Craigslist, the gigs portion of Craigslist, and I would find, you know, deliver food for a restaurant, clean somebody's house, you know, nanny and babysit. And so I was doing the gig economy like right at the start. I eventually got married, decided I didn't want to be a traditional educator. I didn't want to go into like being a teacher because of basically time and money, right? It was a lot of time for not a lot of money. And I had a child now, and I wanted to be a good mom. So I went back to the sort of the gig economy, and I started trying to figure out how I could make money on the internet. And I came across blogging, and I said, oh, you know, I saw all these examples of bloggers and, you know, all these webinars and podcasts and YouTube streams of, oh, you can make money doing this and that with blogging. And I said, well, I could do that. You know, I've figured out how to make my own money before. I could be a blogger. So I started an RV travel blog. If you're in the UK, you might call it a caravan. And so, you know, I had never traveled in an RV before, but I had just bought one. And so I figured, why not chronicle my journey, create some products, create an email list along the way, because that's what podcasts and streams like this were telling me to do. And I did that for over 3 years. You name a digital product, I've tried it. And my big claim to fame was I finally launched a digital course. You know, everybody and their marketing mother tells you, oh, an online course, that's the thing you need, right? And I launched that course. It was a typical Monday through Friday open, close cart. And I had 141 people on the wait list. And by cart close night, I had made 141 sales. So if you're not familiar with average conversion rates, the average conversion rate for a launch is between 1, maybe 5%, maybe 10% at the max if you're doing a really good job. I had 100% conversion rate. So that's how I started to realize, maybe I know something that other people don't. Maybe I shouldn't be an RV travel blogger. Maybe I should teach other bloggers, other creatives, what I know about email marketing. And that was December 2019. I sold my blog, went all in on email marketing, and now I'm talking to the most amazing amplifiers of creativity known to man.
Oh, very kind.
That is very, very kind. I have to circle back because I have questions about you selling your blog, because that's a big deal to build this entity and then, you know, to let go of it because it's your baby, so to speak. You're if I read correctly, your first digital product was about poop.
Yes, true.
Can you kind of tell me one?
That's not a typo. Pop or soda. Yeah, my first digital product was about 6 or 7 months into launching my blog. You know, again, everybody tells you create your own digital product. That's how you're going to make the most money. And mama didn't raise no fool. I'm nothing if not efficient. So I said, okay, I've been building this email list slowly but surely. I had about 300 people on my email list. And I realized that, you know, RV life, I had bought this RV. I thought it was going to be this, you know, Instagram dream, but really it was, you know, a brown nightmare, we shall say. And what you don't know about caravans, if you've never been in one, is, you know, you carry your sewage with you. And so I had this idea of, if the RV life for me is difficult, it's got to be difficult for other people. So I ended up creating an ebook of different stories about the black tank, which is where your sewage goes, different stories about how, you know, when RVing goes wrong. And I put it into a collection. They were all funny stories. You know, you got to learn to laugh at yourself, right? And I sold it. I made something like $7,000 in the first 3 months. It got picked up by an international sponsor in Germany, and they actually paid me $7 for each email lead it gave them. So pretty wild stuff, right?
Absolutely amazing. And I'm just really curious, because you mentioned there, you know, having sort of 300 odd emails. Some people sort of think, I need to have, you know, tens of thousands of emails before I can kind of have any traction or actually release anything to make it worthwhile. So just sort of take us into sort of those numbers and actually the reality of actually the sorts of people that you need before you can start really selling.
Yeah, the reality is, as long as you start to create community and you create a bond with your subscriber from email number one, you can start monetizing your list, and you should start monetizing your list as soon as possible. A lot of people, to Mark's point, they wait a little too long, right? You've got to start quickly and start now. So as long as you're getting leads in, you should be warming them up, at least bare minimum, warming them up to the idea that you're going to sell to them. When I had my blog, like I mentioned, I didn't have that book for 6 or 7 months, but I had this one sentence in the third email I sent them. I'm going to offer you free and paid products to help you on your RV journey. And that just sort of flips the switch from, hey, I got a freebie, to, hey, Lisa offers me paid solutions. Like, she's a real business. I'm going to get real solutions and real help from her, right? And so to answer Mark's question, like, starting that right away is the best way to create a firm foundation and like a lovely monetized community right from the get-go.
Love it.
That kind of slides into my next question, because email has gotten a bad rap along the way. People thinking it's spammy or email is dead. I'm so sorry. I don't feel that way, but that it's, you know, it's not useful anymore. So, and I'm glad you just brought up what you said about, you know, from the get-go, let people know I'm giving you away free content. I'm giving away content that can take you to the next level if you choose to pay for it. So how do you teach people to stay authentic in their emails and keep that personal connection and build that community so that the people getting the emails don't feel like they're being spammed or that they feel good?
Right. Yeah. Listen, I was just telling these amazing hosts right before we came on, Neil was directing Mark to make sure my camera was all perfect. And I said, you know, actually, I tend to have this very authentic, like, you know, my background's kind of crooked, you know, things are off center, my lighting is never right. But it's what attracts me to people. It's what they say, oh, Liz, you know, if she can do it that way, I'm sure I can do it my way. So there's three things in your emails that I want you to always be striving for, always be showing to your audience. And number one is a little bit of personality. And you don't have to have Liz Wilcox personality to have a personality. There, you know, there are three hosts of this show and each one has a distinct personality, right? And so when I'm sharing about personality, it's not, oh, share all these stories and, you know, segue into whatever, whatever. You know, a lot of email marketers will tell you, tell stories. But this is personality like, you know, what's your favorite mug, right? I mean, this is one of my favorite Disney Pixar movies. You know, I share it a lot in my emails. You know, I've got NSYNC everywhere. You know, I love the 90s. That's part of my personality, right? And so I just share that in my emails, just surface level stuff. You don't have to get really, really deep. The second thing is to continuously remind your subscribers of what the vision is. Okay. What if you are, you know, if your subscribers are graduating from U University, right? Like you've got the degree in your hand, you're going to hand it to them. What is that degree that you have for them? For me, it's make money with email marketing, right? You know, we're all big fans of Ecamm here, right? They want your videos and your streaming to look, you know, pristine, A+, right? That's their vision for you. So sharing your vision throughout not only lets your potential customer know where they're going with you, it's also you can't help but be authentic and be yourself when you're sharing what you're passionate about, where you want to take people, right? And the third thing is to just share your values. And this is not spew your politics everywhere. Don't do that, right? But there are certain principles that drive the way you do business. And sharing those in your emails is a great way to make sure you are being your authentic self. For example, I mentioned I come from an education background, right? So something that I learned and was ingrained in me during my bachelor's program is that everyone has a right to an education. That's why I have such inclusive pricing. My main offer is just $9 a month and serves almost 30 countries. That comes from the value that I have of that right to an education. I believe email marketing is just one of those things that if you master it, oh my gosh, like the limit is endless. And so that is reflected in my pricing. So remember, share a little bit of personality, remind people of your vision, and share your values. When you do those three things, you can't help but be your authentic self.
That's amazing. I was just going to ask you about, for somebody just starting off and they don't have an email list yet, you know, you hear things about lead magnets and newsletters and things. Do you have, or could you share a couple of tips on how people would get started in what they should do in order to start collecting those emails? And then they can obviously put in their personality and maybe then sell to them at some point.
Yeah. So there's a million and one ways to grow your list. The number one way I use is doing this. I do a lot of podcast guesting. This is actually my third interview today, and I'm sure I've got one or two more this week. Now, you don't have to, again, you don't have to have Liz Wilcox personality, but basically when it comes to building your list, what you have to know is it's like, you know, raise your hand if you remember Mary-Kate and Ashley Olsen, Tia and Tamara, right? The 90s were full of identical twins. So list building and visibility are like Mary-Kate, Tia, and Tamara, right? Sure, they're different, but I can't really tell them apart. The more visible you become, the more your list is going to grow. So doing things like guesting on a podcast, hosting your own live stream, you know, doing link swaps. Let's say, you know, Neil and I say, Neil, I know you have a lead magnet, which we'll talk about in a second, and I have a lead magnet. Why can you share my lead magnet with your audience, and I'm going to share yours with mine? And that's a great, simple way to get started. Now, do you guys want me to share kind of how people can come up with a lead magnet?
Sure. That'd be great. Yeah, if you don't mind.
Okay.
Yeah,
all right. So I've got it. Can you tell? I do a lot of these podcasts. So remember what we talked about, you know, someone is walking across the stage of, you know, Lisa University, Nahaku University, Roberto University, right? And we are going to hand them a degree. That means that at one point they enrolled in that, you know, track, right? In that major. So now we're going to take it all the way back to the first day of class. What does that ideal person need to know? What resource do they need to have on the first day of class? That's your lead magnet, okay? So for example, I want you to make money with email. No offense, I don't care about your live stream. I don't care about your layouts. I don't care about your microphone or your video or your lighting. All I care about is that your email list is monetized and growing, right? So for the first day of class, what do I think you need? I think you need a welcome sequence, something to, when you get those new subscribers, you know, you can welcome them in a way that helps, you know, monetize them, right? And so that's my lead magnet. That's my first day of class. Now remember, take that lead magnet and get visible with it. We already mentioned podcast guesting, but you can also get visible on Pinterest through SEO. Guest blogging is a great way, especially when I was a blogger. I was too scared to do stuff like this, right? But I knew I could write. And so as content creators, you know, anyone who is willing to come on or help you write something, you usually say yes to if there's a certain level of trust or authority there. And so guest blogging is actually a lot easier than you think.
I think all this ties into the email, having newsletters, which I have questions. And Tatiana, I see you had said something about newsletter in the comments over there. But these are all things you own that it cannot be taken away from you. And that's why, like, email, that's your, you know, that's your everything. No one can take that away. So I'd love for you to talk a little bit about that and about newsletters and building those out and how valuable those can be.
Yeah, let's talk about, like, why email in the first place. And Lisa nailed it. You own your email list. Again, raise your hand if you are alive in 2022. And you remember, come on, Mark, I know you were alive. Show me that hand. And you remember a certain billionaire buying a social media platform, right? And keep your hand raised if you were alive in 2023 and you saw that social media platform implode upon itself, lose half of its users and all of its sponsors and partners, right? If you had built your entire audience on that little bird that is now just the letter X, right? If you had built everything over there, you might be wondering where your people are at right now. And so what that has taught us, and it's been a real life example of what it means to own your email list. With social media, it's a centralized platform. Usually one person or just one board owns the whole thing. Even with YouTube, right? YouTube is constantly, changing things up, and creators are the ones to have to adjust. With email, it's a decentralized platform. We've got Google, Yahoo, Microsoft. We've got little players, the email service providers like ConvertKit, ActiveCampaign, MailChimp. All of those are working in tandem together, but there's not one leader who can just, you know, make the rules. Not even Google can make all the rules for email. And so we want to own our email list. We want to say, yes, these people consented to hear from me. I have their email and I can create content the way I want to and send it out. Does that make sense for that first part of the equation here?
Yes.
Okay, awesome. And that's what I mentioned about being consent-based, right? Lisa opts in to hear more from Neil. Neil opts in to hear more from, you know, Liz, right? It's a very consent-based form of marketing, which is why, on top of owning it, you should consider email. They say for every dollar you spend with email marketing, you can get up to $40 in return. I actually did the math in January 2024, and for every dollar I spent January Yeah, every dollar I spent in 2023, I actually made $166 in return. So that's a pretty conservative rate when you do email marketing consistently, when you create those connections with your audience. Can you repeat to me the second? We were going to talk about newsletters.
Yeah.
Okay. Thanks for reeling me in, Fence. And so that's talking about consistency, right? We want to get that, you know, oh, I want to put a dollar in and get $40 back, Liz. But consistency is key. And that's where newsletters come in. That's where we're sharing our personality. We're sharing things that help people get to the vision, right? It's not just about sharing our vision. In our newsletters, we're sharing, oh, you know, I just did this podcast. I did this live stream. I bought a new microphone so I can, you know, better serve you. Things like that in your newsletter really, really help. And I super recommend at least once a week. I know it seems cringe. It's like, oh, you lost me, Liz. I don't even have time, to make dinner once a week. How am I going to send an email once a week? But really, we've got to make those connections with people. And you can start with once a month and lead up to once a week. I don't expect you to go to the gym and walk out with six-pack abs, just like I don't expect you to send an email today and send one in 7 days. But I do challenge you and invite you to put it on your calendar to understand that it really is the most impactful way to reach your audience, and it's going to give you the highest return on investment when it comes to all the different marketing channels.
Yeah, I have a question because there's mixed, you know, schools of thought. Do you monetize your newsletter right away? Do you build it and wait? Do you not? What are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, there are two different ways of thinking. You know, it's number one, the more traditional thinking, I think, is to, you know, wait, right? Like, oh, we need a few months to build up authority, expertise, to create that connection Liz is talking about. But the other school of thought, and this is where I tend to live, is your people are actively searching for a solution. They just signed up for that first day of class, right, with your freebie. Why not give them all the proper solutions, at least offer them to your audience immediately? They're active, you know, they have a scrape. They need a Band-Aid right now or whatever, right? We're not going to wait. Oh, I don't know if they're going to trust me and trust this Band-Aid. You know, why not just go for it right now? What do you guys, I would love to know y'all's thoughts.
Well, it sounds like it's making a mindset shift about what email how it affects people. Because if you're like, oh, I don't want to do it, I don't want to do this and do that, instead of just going for it and putting out what you have that's valuable to people, I'm hearing that from you. And
yeah,
it seems like the right way to do it.
I love that. And the mindset shift would be, well, number one, they've consented, right? Mark opted in. He wants to hear more. He's actively searching for this, right? And the second thing, to bring it back to what I said about consent, this is why I love email. Like, raise your hand if you love consent, right? You know, everybody wants to be like to hand the permission slip to someone. Sure, technically we consent to ads on YouTube, we consent to it on Facebook, but you know, the algorithm is churning out what we see, right? It's not what we actually have followed. With email, there's not really an algorithm. It's churning out what we opted into, what we consented to. So when you think of it less of, oh my gosh, am I going to look stupid? I don't really know what to say. When you change your mind from that to, oh, Lisa opted in. She wants to hear more. She saw something valuable in what I have to say. You know, I better go in and serve Lisa today. I need to send something out so she can, you know, go one step further. I think that's really going to help you with your newsletter.
And how much of the big picture do you need when you're first starting out? I can understand the this is my sort of what I think I can offer. I know the sorts of pain points, for a better phrase, in terms of how I can help. And I've got my email sort of nurture sequence to begin with. How much sort of further down the path do you need to sort of plan or be aware of within yourself to take people on that journey and to keep giving that value? Or is it really, like you said, it's the combination of the personality and the general understanding of what you're able to offer?
Yeah, I think what Mark is trying to get at is don't overthink it, my friends. Liz Wilcox right here, I have an entire year planned out. But guess what? I've been in business for 8 years, and now I'm in a sort of rinse and repeat model. This is my first year having this calendar. You do not need this. This is, in fact, like overthinking it. You know, this is like a 3.0 strategy, right? It's the same as when you're trying to learn how to stream or you're trying to learn Ecamm or something like that, right? You just got to start with the basics. And so just, you know, playing, honestly, you can play it by ear. And the beauty of that is when you start your email list, maybe you've got 1, 2, 3, 10 subscribers and, you know, half of them you're related to, right? And so don't be afraid to just hit send. It's about practice. It's the same as hitting the go live button or hitting publish on your blog. Or, you know, if you're trying to run a 5K, you just got to get out the door that first day. So don't try to think so many steps ahead like this. You know, just think, I'm going to wake up today. I'm going to send this email. How can I send, you know, the best email I can send today with what I know and who I have? I'll end on a great story told by Will Smith. I just love him. Hence why I call myself the Fresh Princess, right? He says, you know, when people ask him, like, oh, how did you become the biggest, you know, superstar celebrity in the world? He said, I never set out to do that. When I was a kid, my dad had a building and he tore down a wall and he said, we got to rebuild this wall. And after a few days, I told my dad, it's impossible. The wall is gone. And he said, son, you don't build a wall. You just lay, you know, one brick as perfectly as a brick can be laid and soon you'll have a wall. And that's the same with email marketing. You don't try to go for a year-long funnel or even a month. Don't plan ahead if that feels stressful, if that is paralyzing you. Just send the one email today that, you know, best represents what you want to offer, who you are, who you can help. And one day, you know, you're going to have an entire content strategy.
I was going to ask you a different question, but you just said something about how to keep the stress level down from all this and not get so serious about it. I'm glad you just brought that up about the calendar, because, you know, we get overly emotional. We're like, I didn't get this done and, you know, I'm behind. And so maybe tell the audience how you combat that happening. And, you know, we got to keep the self-care in here when you're trying to be a content creator. So,
yeah. You just give yourself permission to not be perfect. Give yourself permission to play. I always ask myself two questions when it comes to making any decision, creating any piece of content, especially when I'm struggling. And this kind of helps hit the pressure relief valve. Number one, and I think Tim Ferriss said this first, like, what would this look like if it was easy? Well, if it was easy, I would just hit send. If it was easy, I'd just, you know, go live, right? But sometimes, like, stuff just isn't easy, right? We've got our own head drama, you know, the tech ain't teching, the email ain't emailing. And so I have a follow-up question. And usually between the two, I can come up with something good. Number two, what would this look like if it was fun? So first, what would it look like if it was easy? What would it look like if it was fun? For me, with email, especially when I first started out, yeah, I would watch podcasts or listen to podcasts and watch webinars. And I saw all these people like way up here, right? Oh my gosh, how am I ever going to get to that level? But what I realized is, you know, again, you've got to build, you know, one brick at a time. And so it was like, how can I make this the easiest possible? Well, if it was easy, I would just write a very simple welcome sequence. I wouldn't worry about a funnel right now. If it was fun, I would just show a little personality, right? And so always remember those two questions when you find yourself, I don't know, like feeling tense or, you know, sick in your belly about something. That's the best way I can help you to make a quick, simple decision.
I think there's always been a concern, especially from me anyway, when it comes to creating emails and maybe creating a newsletter, there's always in the back of my mind, and to your point about making it fun and injecting your personality is, should I be sending an email or creating a newsletter that's always going to bring some value to the people that are reading it? And that doesn't, from what I've heard today, that doesn't always have to be the case. There's nothing wrong with saying, oh, well, I'm just doing this today, or I've just bought this new gear, and what do you think about this? And maybe just, as you said, inject more of the personality into it. And I think that's what a lot of people stumble upon when it comes to maybe creating a newsletter. They always think, I've got to just create some value, but I can't think of what value to give them. I haven't got a course yet, or I'm not doing anything that they may want to buy from me. What can I write about? What can I send? So do you have any sort of pointers on that?
Yes, this is my, oh gosh, I love when people ask this question. Talk about a mindset shift. What is the definition of value? Does value equate tips and tricks? Does value equate, you know, a content piece that's heavily curated? Can't value and shouldn't value be making a true connection with your audience, letting people know, like, yeah, I'm here for you. I'm not a sage on the stage. I'm a guide on the side. I'm in the trenches with you. Like, literally on my computer, I have this sticky note. Email is emotional for your people, Liz. I know that, you know, that feel, oh gosh, I have nothing to say. I didn't get that blog post out. I didn't do this. You know, I'm behind on my Instagram. What am I going to put out to them? But sometimes the highest value you can give is that extension of your hand, right? That connection with people. It's the same as why, you know, Mark, Lisa, Neil, and I are still talking. We met in person at Creator Camp before we hit the live button. We were talking about, oh, I hope to see you again there. You know, there's just simply value in following up with your buddies, right? I remember when I left camp, I DM'd Neil, hey, it was so good to meet you. I remember a couple months later, he DM'd me. Is that not valuable to keep that connection going, to know that someone's thinking about you and is in the trenches with you, is following up about that thing you said you wanted to do? When I saw that, you know, these three made this show, I subscribed immediately. Notifications on, right? Is that not value? So in your emails, instead of thinking of it like, oh, I've got to have this curated piece of content and I got to tell a story that segues into whatever, just remember that, you know, sharing and relating human to human is incredibly valuable.
So now thinking of email as a extension of building your community. I think if we start thinking about it that way, because we all want to build our communities and have that connection and think of it on those terms, rather than just you're trying to sell somebody something or, you know, I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah. I love that. And let's talk a little bit about, you know, like community, because I'm also for money. I love money. And I think you should love money too. And I think the whole purpose of an email list, you know, should be to monetize it, right? But that is because as creators, we are not creating, you know, just for ourselves. Like, we want to create in service of others. And sometimes the best way we can serve people is through our paid offers, right? I don't know about you, but my paid offers are where I really can serve, where I can pay attention to you, where I can, you know, see who you are and how I can help, right? And so, you know, we want to be of service. But the thing that I think a lot of people get wrong about community is they think they have to create the community and then the customers will come. And I know a lot of us watching are YouTubers or aspiring YouTubers, but, you know, we all can't be Mr. Beast, right? Like, that, he is an outlier in the game, okay? But what YouTubers get wrong a lot of the times is, oh, I've got to have, and I think Mark or maybe it was Lisa asked me, you know, like, how many people do I need to get started? And I think that especially for YouTubers, you would think, oh, well, when I get this many hours of watch time and this many subscribers, YouTube is going to monetize me. You know, when I get to 10,000 subscribers, maybe then I'll launch a small digital course or something. But here's the thing. Community does not create customers, especially on YouTube. That community expects you to just create free content, right? But when you create customers, it creates community. So customers actually create community, not the other way around. And here's why. When you create a customer, and I see Lisa, she had to come on the screen and nod her head and say like, amen, yes. Thank you for that. Customers do three things. Number one, they invest, right? And when they invest, you can invest, and it's this awesome thing. When they invest, they take action, right? Anybody can watch a YouTube video, but when they're invested, they're going to take action. When they take action, they're going to see results. And what happens when people see results? They share with their friends. That grows the community versus me just trying to get on a million and one podcast to promote my show or my email list. If I just start converting them right away, like Mark and I talked about earlier, then I'm going to be in great service of them. They're actually going to take action and they're going to share with their friends. And it's going to be this, the most amazing community.
I really like that because as a podcaster, that's something that I've definitely struggled with. I mean, my podcast started in 2016 and it was very much that people just expect me. I asked them lots of questions. They're like, we just love the content. Just keep doing what you're doing. But I was always thinking, well, how can I monetize that? And you can do the buy me a coffees and all those sorts of things as well. But I think the way you've managed to describe it today is really sort of really succinctly made it really clear for me that there are two different ways of going about it and actually starting by giving that value and then being a customer to create the community rather than the community first to then become a customer. It's not something I've heard put that way. So thank you for that. It's a really, really helpful sort of articulation of something which I've not really come across before.
Yeah, you're so welcome. And it's just, I love being on the show and I was so excited because I am a creator at heart and I love creators. My whole life revolves around helping creators make a living, right? And that's something that like Mark just said, like we often don't understand or we don't get articulated to us as, you know, the customers actually create the community. Y'all, I have a Facebook group of over 5,000 people. I'm in there maybe once a week. And I believe the last time I checked, it was 85% had posted, commented, or liked something in the last 30 days. I'm barely in there, but because everyone in that Facebook group has purchased something from me, it's a community. They're taking action. They're helping each other. They're sharing. They're sharing with outside sources to come into the group, right? And so, like, if you take anything away, I know I'm usually an email, like, do email. Like, please just remember that, you know, the customer creates the community because, again, they invest, they take action, and they share. It's really important.
Yeah, I love it. And on that sort of practical note, Tatiana's asked, what tools do you use for your emails?
Yeah, so I personally, speaking of creators, I use ConvertKit. It's for creators, by creators. It has all the bells and whistles you need without the excess. It's a decent price. I always say, you know, when it comes to your email service provider, a lot of people like to go cheap. Oh, I can't afford the $29 a month or whatever. But listen, when you put money down, you're going to be more consistent. It's like, well, I'm paying for this, so I got to use it, right? I bought a mic, so I better start my podcast. It's the same thing. So I caution against just picking an email service provider, just picking a tool based on, you know, oh, I don't want to spend any money before I make money. But I will say, on top of ConvertKit, what I want you to use is whatever works for your brain and your budget. Yeah, take your budget into consideration, but, you know, go on YouTube, set 20 minutes on the clock. Seriously, you could spend all day on this. Set 20 minutes on the clock and watch some over-the-shoulder videos. Maybe you've heard of MailChimp, ConvertKit, ActiveCampaign. Watch some reviews of those. And whichever one you think, oh yeah, that works. You check the budget. Yep. Okay. That might be a little bit of a stretch, but I'm going to go for it. Pick that one.
And Eileen mentioned AWeber earlier in the chat. Is that something that you've used or come across? And it's one I've used, but that was mainly because it was recommended again by someone that's part of my community that was using it and recommended it. And like I say, just that personal community recommendation sort of had a lot of value at that time.
Yeah, AWeber is totally fine. I actually really like AWeber. They have an amazing support team. They're kind of the OGs of online business email marketing service provider. So I would recommend AWeber if that makes sense for you.
Cool. I'm a ConvertKit person. Myself, Neil, what are you?
I'm actually trialing Beehive right now for my
newsletter.
Just to start off, just to try and get something going and see. And because I know that you can take Beehive and then it'll roll into ConvertKit when I want to do something a little bit more fancy.
Right. Oh, look at you. So Liz, we have to ask, you know what I'm going to ask. You just finished up the television show Survivor. We don't have to go deep, but I just would love to know what motivated you to apply for the show. And then what was your takeaway after everything? You know, what did you learn from it and how, if any of those things are going to apply to your business or how you move through your business or life now?
Yeah. So I applied to be on Survivor because I've always wanted to be on the show. And I just, you know, there's sometimes you just know that, you know, if you go down that path, you'll be successful. That's how I felt about Survivor since I was a little girl. I always wanted to be on the show. But I grew up really poor and I've always been the sort of stable matriarch of my family. So the idea of having to take, you know, months off of work, it just seemed impossible. It wasn't until I got my email marketing act together, until I really solidified my offer and, you know, my email was just tight as can be. I'd built the wall, so to speak, that I realized, okay, yes, now I can apply. And my daughter actually dared me to. We were watching. They said, oh, you should apply if this is your dream. And I said, oh, I think I could be on that show. I think I could win. And my daughter said, are you going to talk about it or are you going to do it? So I actually applied and they emailed me back 15 minutes later. They called me 3 hours later and the rest is history. You can watch me now on season 46. But as far, it's crazy, right? But the real takeaway I got was that, you know, my business doesn't need me to work as hard as I've been working. Yes, if you are in the infancy, toddler stages of your business, you know, keep hustling, baby. You're going to get there. But when you master email marketing the way that I have and you master the offer and the audience, I don't actually have to work as hard as I did. And it was hard for me to get out of that hustle mode, right? When you've been doing it so long. You know, I had two jobs in high school to help pay the bills. I've been hustling my whole entire life. And going on Survivor and realizing like, oh, wow, I took 5 weeks off without my cell phone. And I took another 2 months off to recover without my laptop. Like, I don't actually have to work that hard. I think that's been a major reset for me, hence the four naps in 4 days that I talked about at the beginning of the hour. And also something that I learned out on the island is that, and this is not business related, but I think it's helping me as I grow my business and things don't always work out the way I want to, is I deserve grace as much as I give grace. So no spoilers, but out there, I was the worst version of myself. I wasn't eating. I was competing for $1 million. I was very cranky. I was a very cranky person out there, we will say. But I still managed to make friends, create bonds, and do well, according to me, right? Like I said, no spoilers. And so I just realized that as much as I give grace in my life, because I love to give people the benefit of the doubt, I am a people person, but I deserve that grace also. And so when my marketing campaign doesn't do well, when I flub, when my lighting is off, when the thing is crooked, you know, just let it go, Liz. You know, you deserve grace too. So those were my two lessons. Thanks for asking.
That's great. Sure. And speaking of your photo in the back or poster in the back that's crooked, I know you're a big 90s lover of all things 90s. Just a fun question. Curious. If you could like morph into a 90s icon or pop star, who would you be? What would you do? And tell us that.
Oh my gosh, that's a great question. I want to like sarcastically say George Costanza from Seinfeld, but I think I'd probably rather be Jerry Seinfeld because, you know, he got all the ladies, he got all the paychecks, and, you know, he's sitting pretty today. So, you know, shout out Jerry Seinfeld for sure.
We thought you were going to pull a band. That's so funny. We should have placed bets.
I mean, if I had to be someone from a band, I'd probably be Scary Spice because she was really, really cool.
Wow.
She was my favorite. Yeah. She was in your face. She was unapologetic. She was different than the rest. She wasn't trying to be, you know, I don't know, like a, you know, I guess she wasn't trying to be sexy. She was just cool. So I guess that's probably a better answer than Seinfeld. No, so thanks for letting me have a retry on that.
Yeah,
they're both good answers. So Liz, what's next for you in your business and in the future?
Yeah, I love this question. So I have a $9 a month membership and I've been growing it for over 3 years. I'm going to move my camera. Sorry, Neil. And you can see here, I've got this poster right here. And that's how many members I have. So at this time, I have almost 5,000 members. And I'm really just trying to get to 10,000. I'm hoping to get to 10,000 by the end of 2023. So that's what's next. Just growing my email marketing membership, which is a newsletter template club. You get a newsletter every single week, templatized for you, delivered straight to your inbox, all that stuff we talked about, personality, vision, values, showing you're invested, all that. I do all that marketing for you. You just plug and play. $9.
That's amazing and fantastic. And I love that the price point is so accessible for all. That's brilliant. Where can we find Mark? Can we pull up that lovely? We
certainly can. Here we go. And just before we do that, I think, because this is relevant to what people have been saying in the chat. Tatiana was just asking, was Survivor, did it come straight after Creator Camp? I'm just trying to think how all this sort of fitted in that.
Yeah, great question. So my Survivor experience was June 2023. So it's been almost a year since filming. Wow.
Mm-hmm. Oh, wow. Real behind the scenes idea. Yeah. Fantastic. So here we are. All the socials you need. So there we go. At the Liz Wilcox and LizWilcox.com, YouTube, Instagram. Any other places that we need to be aware of, Liz, before we say goodbye?
Yeah, I would love for, you know, we talked a lot about newsletters, welcome sequences. You can actually go directly to LizWilcox.com. In the top right-hand corner, there's a hot pink button. You can't miss it. You're actually going to get an entire welcome sequence already written for you, templatized, again, so you can plug and play. You're also going to get 3 newsletter samples, one to show you how to click, one to show you how to get people to reply, and one to show you how to get people to buy directly from your newsletter. And if that's not enough, I know writing from scratch totally sucks. You know, email feels intimidating. I'm also going to give you 52 subject lines for a year full of prompts. That's LizWilcox.com, hot pink button. Thank you, friends.
Yeah. Wow. Liz, thank you for passing all that good freebie stuff along and for being on the show. It's been wonderful. I've had such a good time.
Really incredible. Yeah, thanks so much. And I think also just for the great insights, but as well, that personality, like I say, is so key, and it comes across so strongly and so warmly. And I think to be able to have the conversation in that way, but at the same time, like I say, offer great insights as well, it's been a real honor. So yeah, thank you for being here with us as well.
Thanks, friends. Yeah, thanks, yes. Neil. This has been so fun. I can't wait to see what people do with email marketing. Thanks again.